Peter chapter 1, let's stand please if you're able, and let's read just three verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Did I say something wrong? Is it 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6? I'm hearing murmuring. Okay. All right. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, search diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. I'm going to preach a message I've entitled tonight, Why This Season? Why This Season? Let's pray and I'll let you be seated. Father, thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this great day. Guide and direct us, I pray now, as we look into your word. I pray, Father, that you'd give us what we need, and Father, we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We are in the middle of what they call the Christmas season. And the reason they call it seasons is because things change. We were in the fall season not very long ago, and then all of a sudden we're going into the Christmas season. And before long we'll go into the not so great cold, really cold season without Christmas, right? And then the spring season, which I love. Many of you are in different seasons in your life. We're going through a different season in our life. We, all of our children are now out of the house. And I mentioned this one time, either this morning in Sunday school or last night. And it's a different season for my bride and I. We determined, and this is not part of the message, this is just free. We determined that when our children left the house, we were not just going to be mad at each other. We were going to be madly in love with each other. And we are, intentionally. And I always tell my wife, if you divorce me, I'm just going to come with you. So she decided to stay with me. A different season. Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going through a different season. You probably noticed that. If you haven't noticed that, you're not paying attention. You may be going into a new and different season in your own life. It may be a happy season. It may be a hard season. Peter realized in 1 Peter that we all go through seasons. He was very, very simply in verse number 6 saying it, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter realized that we all go through seasons. He also realized that the season never lasts forever. Amen? There are constant changes. I don't know about you, but sometimes I ask the question, why? Now, I was taught when I by some great scholar that someone told me years ago that it is wrong to ask God why. Which, by the way, is not true. And if it is true, we're in deep doo-doo. Trouble, for those of you who are, we're in deep trouble because Jesus on the cross said, my God, why? He wasn't saying it in a rebellion. He really wanted to know why. And I think sometimes as Christians, I think we need to stop and say, Lord, why are you allowing us to go through this season? Why is it that I'm going through this difficulty? Or why is it I'm going through this great time in my life? So tonight, I'm going to give you several principles, I think, from this passage of Scripture that is going to answer the question for us tonight, why this season? Why, Lord? I got to be honest with you, okay? And of course, I knew I'm coming here, and I don't pretend well. You probably already know that. I don't pretend well. It's very difficult for me to put on, so you just have to put up, right? And so your pastor is here, and I'm just going to use him as an example. I mean, I remember when we had the phone conversation, and he said to me, Pastor Whiting, it's cancer. And I got to tell you something. I wasn't thrilled. I'm sure you weren't either. Right? And I got to be honest with you. My first response was not praise the Lord. Now, some of you are more spiritual than me. Or at least you think you are. Right. Yeah. My first response was, Lord, why? why? But Lord, why? Why him? Why now? Well, I'm going to answer maybe, I don't know why, but I'm going to answer some questions of maybe why, not just with him, but why are you going through this difficult time? Why am I going through this trial? Why am I going through this good time in my life? Lord, why this season? Number one, look at verse number 7, if you would please. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Number one, sometimes we go through a season so that we can see the value of our faith. It's easy to praise the Lord when things are going well. It's easy to talk about how great God is when everything is good. It's easy to tell people how big your God is when he looks big. Right? It's a little more difficult when you're going through difficult times, but we need to see the value of our faith. It is much more precious than gold. You can't buy it. Your faith is the bedrock upon which everything else rests. If we never had trials, we would never, ever see the grace of God and the greatness of God, and soon we would take our faith for granted. My bride and I have been married for, 31 years. We've been married for a year. We took the day off. I'm pastoring a church. We went to breakfast. It was a great, great day. And all of a sudden, we decided, let's just take a nap. And so all of a sudden, my bride just, she said, man, I got this terrible headache. Maybe you need to call the doctor or the chiropractor or whatever. We got to the chiropractor that morning. And that was pre-cell phone days. And so I went in and I got the phone and I was dialing. And by the time I got back into my bedroom, my bride is laying on the floor, writhing in pain. That's scary. And I thought, my goodness, this is not good, right? I can see the clues. This is not good. And so I said, man, get in the car. Let's get you to the chiropractor or whatever. We get her in the car. She's hyperventilating. She was telling me she was going to die. She had me really convinced that she was going to die. I'm like, do we need to call an ambulance? Do we need an ambulance? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, I need an ambulance. Now, I don't know about the rest of you men, but when you call 911, you have to turn in your man card. You're no longer in control. And all of a sudden, you have just told the world, there's something going on here that I don't control. And I drove to the ambulance garage, and I called 911, and the ambulance was gone. It was in Cedar Rapids already. We were 20 miles north from there, and I knew deep inside of me that I was going to watch my wife die that day. I knew it. I knew it. And I also knew that it was going to be okay. Sat there for 20 minutes waiting for the ambulance to come. My wife had a brain hemorrhage, a subarachnoid hemorrhage. Her brain bled for multiple seconds. Had it bled longer than that for two more seconds, she would have died. I remember sitting there praying. Boy, I'll tell you what. You want to talk about getting in touch with God? I said, Lord, if you want her, you can have her. And God said, I don't want her, you keep her. Amen. Amen. It was, you're a tough group. 13 days my wife is in the hospital in intensive care. Most people who have a brain hemorrhage don't live. Of the people who live, most of them are not the same. You see her, she's here. We have three wonderful children. We're married. You say, Pastor, why? Well, you know, I asked that question. Why? You know, I'm serving you, right? I'm young. I'm in the ministry. Lord, I'm serving you. I'm a pastor. I'm doing everything. Why would you do this? Why? Well, Sometimes we don't know exactly why, and sometimes we never find out why, but there was a man in my church that I had invited to church. He'd been coming for a while, and you're not going to believe this, but he came to our church. He didn't believe anything we taught or anything that we preached. He had read through the Bible multiple times. He was an engineer type, and it just didn't make sense to him. He's like, how is it that salvation can be free? How is it that it's a relationship? How is it possible? And I just said, you know, I just kept being kind and being gracious, and he kept coming. He said, Pastor Whitey, I love coming to your church because it's fun. You know what? Church ought to be fun. When the world walks into church, they ought to see that you enjoy it, not that you're in here punching your time clock. So my wife's in intensive care. Sunday rolls around. I thought, well, I might just well go to church, right? Because what am I going to do? I stood in the pulpit, and I wept like a baby. I didn't feel like I had peace at all. This man by the name of Brian Pauling came to church that day again. Big hunk of a man. 6 foot something, 300 and something, and I'm being conservative. And he came to me after the service and said, Pastor Whiting, you got something I don't have. And I took him down to my office, and with him on hand and knee, led him to Jesus Christ in my office. Now, I want you to hear something that my wife had said not a week before that. We were sitting around the table talking about Brian Pauling. And my wife said, what is it going to take for him to get saved? What's it going to take for him to finally just surrender? He knew the Bible better than some of the people who've been in church for a long time. Say, Pastor, that story turned out pretty great. Can I tell you something? The story would be the same even if my wife had gone to heaven that day. Say, Pastor, do you know why? No, not necessarily. I don't know. By the way, I baptized that man alone. I did it in thirds, you know? Amen. Amen. I'm like, don't fight me or we're both going to drown, you know? I'm just telling you right now. He's in Alaska today, saved as a direct result of coming to church and realizing that faith is real. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is sometimes we go through difficult things so that we can see the value of our faith and so that others can see the value of our faith. It's great when things are going well. Listen, I don't use myself as an example. I didn't feel like I had that much peace. I didn't feel like I was doing this really well at all. I'm just being honest with you, right? But God used it in spite of it. Look at verse number 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Number 2, why this season? So we can bring praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. That's why. Because God is good, not because of what he does, but because of who he is. We're going through this season because God is saying, hey, I got this. Oh, how I need that. I've got this. Trust me. Put your faith in me. I've got it. Right. Good. Good. And our response must be praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is God getting the glory in your life? Well, of course he is when things are going well. Yeah. Right. How about from the defeats? Can I tell you something? Some of the greatest things in my life came as a result of some of the worst times in my life. I started Liberty Baptist Church 26 years ago. I was burdened with the supposition that everyone just loved Jesus. I had no idea that there were people who didn't love Jesus. I thought, hey, you love Jesus? I love Jesus. Let's build a church together. No, really. I'm not kidding. I was about as dumb as I look, you know? I mean, it was not good. And man, we were building the church. I mean, it was, wow, it was great and wonderful. And I won't bore you with the details, but man, there for about 6 months, we had a church split. And, you know, our church went down from 110 down to like 20-some people. I'm going to tell you something, it about killed me. My bride and I would lay in bed and weep together. You know that song, Lord, Send Me Anywhere, Only Go With Me? I sang part of it, Lord, Send Me Anywhere. I don't even care if you come. Just send me anywhere. I wish I could stand here tonight. I wish I could say to you, I never thought about quitting, but that is a lie. Come on now. Come on now. Come down off your high horse with the rest of us here. Come on now. Sometimes you just go, why, Lord? What's the purpose of this? Can I tell you what the purpose was? He wanted me to give him the honor and glory. He wanted me in the difficult times to say, Lord, you've got this. This isn't about Pastor Whiting. This is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is about me building a church, not you building a church. Liberty Baptist Church today is a direct result of the most difficult time that my wife and I went through in my life. And can I tell you something? I wouldn't trade it for anything. You say, Pastor, did you praise him the whole time? Really? No. I wish I could say I never called anyone and said, hey, do you know of a church that's open? Do you know of any church that wants a pastor who's flopped? Because I know one. And I gave him Pastor Ross's number. Sorry. I wasn't going to go there, but they were so willing to throw me under the bus. They thought I was going to self-deprecate, and I can't do that forever. You got to throw a twist in there every now and then. No, listen, there are times I wanted to quit. Can I tell you something? My boys were watching me. Amen. The people who prophesied and said, or testified and said, Pastor Wayne, you're going to lose your kids if you start a church. They'd have been right if I'd have quit. Did they ever see their daddy cry? Oh, yeah. They see their daddy mad? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You think I'm funny? You should see me mad. Amen. The two people who live to tell about it will tell you all about it. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes the Lord allows things to go on in our life because he wants us to praise him even during the difficult times. I'm just being honest. I am, that challenges me. That is difficult for me. Can I get someone to say amen? But that's what we need to do. I like this one. Look, verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye what? Love. You know why? You want to know why? Because he wants us to love him more. Tough times will either bring you closer or drive you further away from God. It's your choice. God, you love me? I don't understand it. I'm not even saying I like it. But I love you anyway. By the way, can I just say, can we get done with our pride? I hear people say, you know what? I serve God because of how much I love him. No, you know why I serve God? Because of how much he loves me. My love comes and goes. And so does yours. Again, can we come down off of our high horses here? God's love never changes. He loved me before he even had to. If that makes sense. I mean, he loved me enough to send his son to die for me. I've got three sons, all of whom I would have sent to die for you at one point or another. Come on, anyone here have sons? Thank you. Can I get an amen? Some of you are like, I don't know if I should. Yes! For heaven's sakes, if you have a son, you've wanted to sacrifice him once or twice. Amen. And by the way, way, you daughters ain't any better, so don't even start. Hello. Wow. I've got their attention now. You know what? He wants us to love him. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Boy, I need this. We say we love him, even in the hard season. Would I have loved him if he hadn't done the way I wanted him done? Several years back, we were driving back from college. Our oldest son was driving with our youngest son in a vehicle behind us, and we were somewhere in the middle of Mississippi. Was it Mississippi? Somewhere in the middle of God-forsaken Mississippi. And Lord, give me strength. And I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and all of a sudden I see my son in his car, and someone kind of sideswipes him on an interstate going 75 miles an hour, and I see him, and I'm seeing this in the mirror, and next thing I know, he's going sideways down the interstate. Off into the ditch. I'm going to say some real things here tonight. I'm just going to be honest. I told the story at my church, and in my church are wonderful people. Don't misunderstand me. When I tell the story, people would have said, well, Pastor, it would have been all right. True. Can I tell you something? It wouldn't have been all right that day. Right? But it should have been. Do you see the difference? See, I think of it in my terms. I mean, listen. You've never heard the scream of a mother. I never heard my wife scream that way. I mean, it was brutal, and we could not get turned around, and you can't get back to. And I'm trying to call him on the phone to see if he's okay. And can I tell you something? God was in it the whole way. And let me tell you something. Listen, it would have eventually been all right. Because God loves me. Why are we going through these trials? Because he wants to see, do you love me? Hey, let me tell you something. I'm preaching it, but I don't got it, right? I mean, I got it, but wow. Okay, Lord. If it's your will, do we mean that? What we really mean is, Lord, do it my way and I'm going to love you. I'll praise you when it's going well. Those are the easy times, isn't it? He wants us to love him more. I love this one. So we believe him more. So we love him more. Same verse, verse number 8. He wants us to love him more. He wants us to believe him more. We've never seen him, but we sure see all that he does. I like this one, verse 8. Look at the end of verse number 8. With what ye rejoice, with what? Joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. Why does he allow this season? So we have joy. See, we're negative. Some of y'all think you're going through real trials. Buckle up, buttercup. Amen. I mean, we cry over a hangnail. Buckle up. The lady I told you about in Sunday school who was pronounced dead. Who's alive in our church? Her husband, who I led to the Lord. He went through all of that with her. He cares for her on a regular basis. He takes care of her every single day. Found out about 8-9 weeks ago that he has stage 4 cancer. Chemo and radiation, 6 days a week, 5 days a week, for 7 weeks. Why? So he can have joy. I say, really? Can I tell you something? Every single day I talk to him on the phone. I can't go see him all the time. His immune system is totally shot. I got to see him Monday, by the way. Got to go over and see him Monday. Wrap my arms around him and cry. Cry with him a little bit. Pray with him a little bit. Tell him how much we love him. You know what he said to me? Pastor, it's all good. Got joy. Joy is not based on my circumstances. You know that candy bar, Almond Joy? It's a lie. So is Fun Size. Just so you know, Fun Size to me would be the size of Brother Walton over here. You bring me a Snicker bar that size, now we're going to have some fun. Really? Fun Size? What kind of fun do you have? It really should be Almond Happiness, right? Because when the candy bar is gone, the happiness is gone. When the Almond Joy is gone, the joy is gone. No, when it's joy. It's not based on the mounds of coconut and chocolate. Right? See, we think that God gives us happiness because it's based on our circumstances, but what he really wants to do is give us joy. That no matter what you're going through, joy unspeakable. He wants to give us peace that passes all understanding. You ever had that? Did you understand it? No. I was sitting with a couple and a lady in our church many, many years ago, and her husband was getting ready to die. He was in hospice, and I was sitting there, and I was sitting by his hospital bed holding his hand, and she said to me, she said, Pastor, I can't do this. I can't sit here and watch my husband die. I know he's going to die in the next couple of hours. I can't do this. I said, you can. Not only you can, you will. You have no choice. But when it's time, God will give you grace, and you'll have peace that passes all understanding. And 2 hours later, as I'm holding his hand, he takes his final breath. And his wife is sitting there, and she said, Pastor, I don't understand this. Do tell. What don't you understand? He said, I have this peace. You do? The Bible talks about that peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding. That's the God we serve. See, we think that when things don't go well, that's the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of a great story that God's going to tell. In my weakness, he's strong. Do I understand it all? Heavens, no. Do you understand it all? Heavens, no. Do I even like it all? No. Come on, let's be honest. No, really. People say, well, you know, whatever he wants. You probably haven't had many problems. So that we have joy. Verse 9, look at it. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Number 6, so we increase our faith. Seasons bring opportunities to increase our faith. God says, listen, you have no idea how big I am. Let me show you. See, we read about the Old Testament. We read about them going across on dry land. We read about all these miracles, and we think, man, that is great. Can I tell you a little secret? That's the God we serve! I said this last night or this morning, and you looked at me like, oh my goodness, and it's okay. I'm going to try it again and see if you got it this time. When it comes to miracles, God's a show-off, and I love that. It's okay. He wants to prove to you, man, I'm going to do things you can't imagine. Remember that verse in Malachi? Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, and I'm killing this verse, but prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you there will not be room enough to receive it. I'm killing it, but that's close. I think sometimes we pray, we say, Lord, please, I've got my little Tonka toy truck. Would you float down a blessing? We see a blessing. Please, you know what God's saying to us? Go get yourself a real dump truck. I want to bury your stinking little dump truck. I don't know about you. That's the God I serve. Say, Pastor, has everything gone all right? Have you been listening? No, everything doesn't always go all right. But everything always ends right. I've read the back of the book. We win. Amen. You win. Why this season? Because he wants us to know that we win. He wants us to keep our eye on the prize. Yep. Do they do this here in Indiana where they have like Hoosier Classics on TV? Like Hoosier Classics. Maybe Hoosiers don't have classics. I don't know. At home, we have Hawkeye Classics, and they play the same one over 5, 10, 12 times. And it'll be from years gone by, and I will catch it because I know that they're going to win. Because if they didn't win, it wouldn't be a Hawkeye Classic. Right? Are you fell? I'm not making this up. Some of y'all look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I sit there, and it doesn't matter how far we're behind. One day I was watching it, and my bride came down, and I'm sitting there watching the Hawkeye Classic, and she's like, oh, oh. I'm like, honey, don't worry about it. What do you mean? I said, we're going to win. Oh, but it's a classic. I've seen this before. Go ahead, Buckeyes. Do your thing. Because when the final horn blows, I've seen this before. And we win. Can I tell you what we got going on here, friends? We got ourselves a classic. Oh, sometimes I feel like we may be a little behind. I've read the back of the book. And we win. So let's start acting like it. Let the world say, oh, but not. Settle down. I had to, honey, it's a classic. She still gets caught up in that, even now, because I got to be careful here, because she's going home with me. But do you have, anybody in here have wives who are brave enough to say, I understand what you said without you saying it? Thank you. All right, because they're ladies, and they're like, oh, I can't believe how terrible they must feel about this. Oh, my goodness, how bad this must be. Oh, my goodness, why did they do that? Can I tell you something? I've read the back of the book. I've seen it. We win. We've got a classic going on. We're going to win. Listen, some of us may not end the game on the field, but we're still going to end the game. Amen. Are you getting any of this? You say, Pastor, why this season? Well, the answer to that question is, I don't know. I don't know why God would do what he's doing. But I know that he's God. And I know that I'm not. And we need to put the proper amount of importance and emphasis on each of those. Say, Pastor, why? I'm going to review and we're done. Number one. So we can see the value of our faith. Number two, so we can bring praise, honor, and glory to Christ. Number three, so we love him more. Number four, so we believe him more. Number five, so we have joy. Number six, so we increase our faith. Can I tell you something? I've been around long enough, and some of you have been around a lot longer than me. You've seen God do some amazing things. Act like you've seen it before.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Amen. know what drives me crazy? A lot of things, but let me narrow it down. When these pro football players make a touchdown and they celebrate like it's the first time they've seen an end zone. And I just go to myself, right? Is this your first time? No, really. And I just want to say, you're getting paid millions of dollars and this is your first. If I was a pro player and I'm in the end zone all the time, I would make a touchdown and I go, yeah, been here before. Can I tell you something, Christian? I've been here before. Why this season? I don't know the specific answer. But the general answer? Because God's in control. And he's trying to help us love him and praise him and serve him and increase our faith. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths found in your word. Guide and direct us, I pray, as Pastor Ross comes and does whatever he sees fit. Father, thank you for this passage of scripture. Why this season? Help us, Father, to just trust you.